gsa2010.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Two, For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to discuss federal employee health benefit plan open enrollments with Tom Bernatavitz, head of federal plans for Aetna. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Good to have you back. And you've been here, you reminded me as we walked into the studio, every year since we started doing this.
That's right. It's a pleasure to join you every year.
It's a pleasure to have you. And Ann Vincent, and Ann is Director of Business Development for NITP. Ann's been away for a few weeks.
I have, yes.
Good morning, Ann.
It's good to be back. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And Tammy is soon to join us. She's caught in the D.C. Traffic. And Tammy Flanagan, of course, is Senior Benefit Director of NITP, weekly GovExec columnist. And she knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. But anyway, I think I know enough to at least hit the ball around with you, Tom. Tom, Aetna, and now you have different type plans. Can you just kind of give us a background so that people like me can understand what choices I might have?
Sure, Bob. We have four different types of medical plans. Two are of the health maintenance organization variety, which essentially mean that your costs are more predictable, but you have to stay within our network of providers. Another two are called consumer-driven plans. They utilize Aetna's nationwide preferred provider organization network. There's more freedom and flexibility in terms of how you use the benefit plans. Coverage is nationwide, and there are out-of-network benefits associated with it. Generally, though, on the consumer-driven plans, your deductibles and co-insurance rates are higher than on the health maintenance organization plans. We also offer one dental plan under the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program called FedVIP.
Okay, so HMO, Health Maintenance Organization, is that what it stands for?
That's correct.
Okay, and that would be, okay, here are the group of docs that we have, and if you stay within this group, the premium in reality is going to be lower than what it would be if you were in a, quote, consumer-driven plan where, you know, I might come in and say, Tom, I really have my favorite doctor, and they might not be in the group of the HMO folks, but nonetheless, it's somebody that Aetna would recognize as a doc. Is that a simplistic way to look at it?
That is. That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
Because when people bang this around, even in class, although I don't, that's not my subject, I'm an accountant type, they'll say, what's the difference? You know, they call it alphabet soup sometime. What's a high deductible and what's this? And I think I can usually stumble through it, but if they're asking me in class, I know the listeners are probably wanting to know the same thing.
And there is nothing that is more alphabet soup ridden than the federal employee health benefit, the federal employees health benefits program. There are over 200 unique plan options, and I did a little analysis just about a month ago, and on average, each individual, depending on their zip code, you know, where they live, probably has anywhere from 20 to 35 different choices of plans to select from. So it's a consummate alphabet soup of plans, and I think at times it provides an oversaturation of choice where individuals shut down and pretty much remain inert and stay with the plan that they have.
Okay. Coverage-wise, do you cover all the 50 states?
We do. Our consumer plans cover all 50 states. There are certain parts of some more rural states where they're not offered, but the consumer plans are offered to 94% of all federal enrollees. Our health maintenance organization plans, HMOs, are offered to a little over a third of all employees nationwide. However, all of those plans are offered to everyone in the greater Washington, D.C., and Baltimore area.
Okay. And that was important because we got two emails just last week, and they say, well, you know, do these plans cover the whole country? Do they cover a certain section? So I think that's good. So that gets the people's attention coming right out of the box. Anybody listening pretty much would have you as an option.
That's right. And it's particularly important, I think, this year because the health care reform law has provided for coverage for dependent children up to age 26. And a lot of those children have moved on. So it's a critical question to ask and to have answered accurately when you're looking to cover your son who's going to school in Colorado or your daughter who lives in Chicago. All of our four plans in the Washington, D.C. area cover dependents who are out of area through our nationwide network of providers.
Okay, good. And Tammy just joined us, so I'm off the hook now. Good morning, Tammy.
Hi, Bob. How are you this morning?
Everything's good. A lot better now.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, well, in the city,
you
sure never know. And you would think today would not be as high a traffic day, but I experienced, I didn't get here till about 15 minutes before airtime.
Well, I think when it's not traffic, it's construction. I think they were setting up early or late construction, whatever the deal is. I think that was holding me up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to see you, Tom. Good to get together again during this open season period.
It's our annual event, and I look forward to it every year as well.
And he's been on 5 years now, Tammy.
I know. I was listening as I was parking my car. I heard, I was listening to the overview of the different health plans and so forth. And we did get a question on email. Do you want to start with a question?
Why not?
That's why I'm late. I had to print out the question.
Okay, great.
And I promised I would get the answer today. It's a little bit long, but let me read it. It says, I live in Virginia in the Washington, D.C. metro area, and I'm interested in the Aetna high deductible health plan. However, I am concerned over the coverage of the PPO network nationwide. I'm retired and plan to travel throughout the U.S., and I would be concerned if some type of emergency occurred while I'm traveling. I noticed that Aetna is not considered a national plan, so can you please give me an idea of whether this would be a worry if I plan to travel? And how Aetna network companies compare to other FEHB. I'm interested in Blue Cross competition. So also, any information on how Aetna would pay any out-of-network doctors or hospitals as far as the plan allowance in an emergency situation? Would I have excellent PPO coverage, hospital and doctor nationwide with Aetna? So I think the answer to that would be should be covered or he would be covered. Because emergencies come up no matter where you are.
Yeah, emergency coverage is not a problem. They're always covered at the in-network level of benefits. But the heart of the question was, you know, is Aetna a local plan? Am I in trouble if I'm traveling throughout the country? And the neat thing with our consumer plans is that they are nationwide, and any enrollee avails themselves to Aetna's nationwide network of 550,000 doctors, over 5,000 hospitals and 125,000 dental locations, because there are dental benefits embedded in our consumer-driven plans. Particularly the high-deductible plan is a great option because, first of all, the premium is one of the lower-cost enrollee cost-sharing plans in the FEHBP program at only a little under $40 for single and about $86 for family.
That's the biweekly rate.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
non-postal. That is very low.
And even if you don't use the benefits, you're accruing dollars in something called a health savings account monthly. And the annual amounts that are put in this health savings account for you, which are at your control, are $750 single and $1,500 family. Essentially, an individual who had no other needs other than preventative care, dental, eye exams, and didn't utilize any of the actual core health benefits would actually end up not paying any premiums for the year because of the amount that was deposited into their health savings account.
Yeah, I try
to. So it's like a can't lose.
Yeah, whenever I'm teaching on insurance, and especially during open season, I think a lot of employees really don't understand the essence of a high deductible health plan. So I'll put, you know, I'll use Aetna for my example, actually, and I put their premiums up, and then I subtract the amount that you contribute to their either HSA or HRA, and then it brings the premium down to almost nothing. And then we talk about the deductible and the fact that if you have preventative care needs, you don't have to meet the deductible. So like you just said, you know, you could end up throughout the year with almost zero health care expenses, you know, until the year comes when you have an illness or you have an emergency situation. But by that time, hopefully you've built up some money in your HSA or your HRA.
And it's unfortunate that high deductible plans, ours included, and there are other major competitors mm-hmm. who offer them in the program, have not resonated more among federal employees because they are transparent. And I think that's what scares people mm-hmm. about them. Rather than nickeling and diming people around, well, your co-pays are this and your co-insurance are this, and if you go out of network, it's 30% or you have no benefit. I mean, we're completely upfront and transparent about here is the deductible amount. It's $1,500 single, $3,000 family, and I think immediately people go, ah, that's not for me. But if they started to add up the little nickel and diming, and sometimes big nickel and diming that goes on among some of the major PPO competitors, easily they add up to out-of-pocket costs that are in excess of those amounts.
And I think for employees who are still working at a healthy employees who are working at a fairly high salary, the ability to contribute to a healthcare savings account, I think the amount for this year is going to stay the same next year, is I think $6,150 for self and family enrollees, and I think it's $3,050 for self only. So when you add that, or if you subtract your contribution from that, that's still a significant amount of income that you can shelter from taxes. And if you're healthy, those amounts can roll over to the next year and stay in that healthcare savings account, which is at a bank, correct? There's a
it is
a
yeah.
bank
it's,
that holds
JP
the money.
Morgan Chase is our
HSA bank,
HSA administrator. And I know the tax benefits of this make the average Joe's eyes glaze over, but it is the most tax advantaged vehicle that exists. Those deposits that the plan puts in, they're tax free. Interest you earn on that amount, tax-free. Your premiums are deducted if you're pre-tax. An active employee on a pre-tax basis. Any voluntary contributions that you make into that health savings account up to the maximum that Tammy mentioned are completely tax deductible.
Right. And then you use them for health care, you never pay tax on the money. And if you live a long life and you're still healthy and you've built up a cash reserve of, you know, who knows, $20,000, $30,000, you can still spend that on long-term care premiums to a certain extent, Medicare Part B premiums, I believe, as well. So I really think employees should take a look at that this open season as those high deductible versions, because especially for employees and young families who are in relatively good health or in excellent health especially, I think they offer a good amount of preventative care at very little out-of-pocket expense.
It's almost like an IRA, but you can take it. Mm-hmm. It isn't like a use-lose with regards to the flexible spending account.
Yeah, I was going to say, if employees are used to the flexible spending account and they know how that works and you can use that for your out-of-pocket expenses, the HSA and HRA are really not that much different. If anything, they're a little bit more flexible because you don't have to use them up every year and you can carry over the balance from one year to the next. And there's some additional things you can deduct that you can't deduct from an FSA. And I think the most important part for employees planning to retire is that an HSA or an HRA can be carried into retirement. You don't have to spend it before you separate. I think a lot of employees don't realize that.
That's correct. You actually even carry it into death. You name a beneficiary who owns your HSA account if you're... if you unfortunately pass on.
Right. So it is, it's money that truly does belong to you.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Aetna is by far the largest high deductible health plan HSA provider in the federal employee health benefit program. We have nearly 25,000 enrollees at this time. And
Seen growth on that from the past couple of years? Because I know it's still relatively new.
Yeah. Great. We have a caller. I didn't mean to cut the commercial off, but we have a caller, Barry from Baltimore. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything's good. How about you?
Pretty good. I got two quick questions. One is, I'm a federal employee and will retire at the end of December. Right now I have the Aetna HDHP with an HSA. Would like to continue this. It's not clear to me that being a retiree and not on Medicare, can I have the HSA? Am I also, my husband is not a federal employee, but is on Medicare. Can I have my HSA? Because I'm only going to be 63, and also, can I fund it up to the family limit?
Yes. Yeah, you can still contribute to your HSA even as a retiree, as long as you're not on Medicare yet. Once Medicare comes into the picture, then you can no longer contribute to the HSA. You mm-hmm. would then have an HRA, health
right.
reimbursement arrangement, where you could still spend the money, but you just couldn't add any more tax-free dollars to it.
Right, and I can fund it up to the family limit.
That's right. That's right.
Also, the gentleman I heard right before he was talking about another thing about the premiums are pre-tax for employees. How about for retirees?
No, unfortunately, not for retirees. Yeah, current employees do get to deduct the health care premiums, but once you retire, you go back to the old way. You know, remember before 2001 when you had to pay taxes first and then deduct the health insurance premiums.
Right, so premiums are not pre-tax for retirees.
No, they're not.
Yeah, that would take a change to federal law in order for premium conversion to apply. We'd love it if it was so, but it's not.
Since right. you do have the high deductible version, can you give us your opinion on it? Have you been, I guess, apparently satisfied since you want to take it into retirement, right?
Yes, the main thing is because it had a lot to do with the HSA, because I've been looking in the brochures and reading, getting books that was advertised on WTOP, and they really don't specify saying yes. You can take it, use the HSA into retirement if you're not on Medicare. There's nothing, I can't find anything on writing.
Well, I can get you something on it. If you send us an email to foryourbenefit@knitpink.com, I can forward something to you that would give you that assurance.
Wait a minute, could you give me that email again?
Sure. It's foryourbenefit.
For your benefit.
For your benefit, all one word, at NITPINC.
NITP.
INC, like incorporated.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Great. Now, let me ask a question. The emailer, if they were under one of these HMO provisions, health maintenance organization, and they were happy with what was offered in the area that they live, but they did travel like they asked, and what would happen? They'd have to go out of proverbial network to get care if they were in another area?
Aetna's in a unique situation as compared to a lot of HMOs that are offered in the federal program, in that we are a national plan. And even if our HMO does not participate in FEHBP in a certain market, our enrollees, if they do participate in our federal HMO, can access our HMO network anywhere throughout the country. So it does open up a significant number of options for them.
I was looking at the list of states that Aetna Federal operates in, and I couldn't really find too many that it didn't. Do you know of the ones that are not available for the Aetna HMO? I know it even says Alaska and Hawaii are available, so you know, if people who want to live in those states still can have Aetna as their provider. And looking at all the retirement states like Arizona and California and Florida, that's there as well. So
we do have HMOs in the three aforementioned states, but you are looking at the consumer plans brochure,
okay.
which utilizes our PPO network, which is a larger network than our HMO. But the HMO is available pretty much, you know, throughout the United States, just about in every major metropolitan area.
Right. So, yeah, it's expanded, I guess, over the years as far as which networks it's in or which states it operates in.
All right. That was a good call from Barry. So those listening, please give us a call. We're at 202-465-3080, 202-465-3080. And I always do this with a disclaimer. It's 10:25 a.m. November, what's today?
22nd.
2010. And we're on for about another half hour, 35 minutes. But if you're listening to us other than that time, don't call in, because you're going to be listening to it archived on our website or the radio station's website that we'll talk about in a little bit. So again, 202-465-3080, and we're live. Tom, back to you. You sent us a nice outline, and you have something here called a CDHP, just to add more alphabet to the soup. What's a CDHP?
That's a consumer-driven health plan. That comes along with something that Tammy mentioned previously to the caller who wanted to know what happens when he turns age 65. That comes along with a HRA, which is a health reimbursement arrangement. Works similar to the HSA, but the big difference is the fact that the CDHP comes with an HRA, which is a benefit as opposed to a trust account. So the benefit, the HRA it's an account-based product. It does accumulate, as long as you stay in the plan. It rolls over from year to year. However, if you ever leave the plan, the benefit goes away because it is a notional benefit. It's a promise to pay something as opposed to an actual trust account, which is what the health savings account is.
And the benefit to that is the same dollar amount as what Aetna contributes to an HSA, correct, on a yearly basis? Although I think one they contribute monthly and the other one you get it up front at the beginning of the year.
The CDHP with the HRA, you get it up front at the beginning of the year, and it is a little bit more than the HSA. It's $1,000 single and $2,000 family. And new this year, we're actually depositing an additional 50 single, 100 family for anyone that completes a health risk assessment, and I don't want to get the acronyms confusing, but that's just an online questionnaire that helps us monitor any health needs that you may have, and actually helps you monitor any health needs that you may have and give you a heads up on what to look out for.
And then for those of you all listening, I was always skeptical of those, and I took one not long ago because I figured, they're just doing that so that they can drop me from the plan. And it was actually very good, and it pointed up something. I figured that it was not an issue with me. It wasn't a major issue, but it was an issue nonetheless to remember. Maybe I shouldn't have that third piece of chocolate cake. Anyway, thanks for the answer, Tom. That was a bullseye, but I want to say for those of you all listening, including me, I'm glad this show is archived because then I can go back and say, you know, I remember the answer to that, but I don't remember the fine points, and one can listen to it. So,
what's interesting about the CDHP versus the high deductible plan is that our enrollment is three times higher in the CDHP. We have nearly 75,000 federal enrollees throughout the country, whereas the high deductible plan only has 25,000. It's an interesting phenomenon because if I were picking between the two, I'd be picking the high deductible health plan because it's a lower premium cost. There are many more tax advantages. It's completely portable. It goes with you even into death, as I previously mentioned.
Yeah, you keep the money.
And you keep the money. The benefits are there's a ceiling on your out-of-pocket expenses every year, and the network is nationwide.
I'd like the explanation, but people usually stop when they hear high deductible, and then it shuts down. But it shouldn't.
Right. The other thing too you mentioned is the catastrophic limits, because there is a limit. No matter how much medical expense you have, there's an out-of-pocket limit of how much you're going to spend overall the course of the year. And I understand that with I don't know if it's true with consumer-driven plans. You can correct me, but I know with high-deductible health plans, that catastrophic limit includes more things than it would with a traditional fee-for-service plan, which even though it has a higher limit, you have more included in that, so that shouldn't scare you off.
Well, first and foremost, it includes a deductible,
right?
Which is an out-of-pocket expense, to my thinking. I mean, right. Maybe I'm too simple when it comes to this, but there are some plans of the fee-for-service nature who don't classify the deductible as something that applies towards your out-of-pocket expenses. Clearly, in our high-deductible plan, we do, and we also do in our consumer-driven health plan. Mm-hmm. The out-of-pocket limits, this is the maximum that you'll pay before we pay 100% for all your health care needs for the balance of the year. Under the CDHP, it's 4,000 single, 8,000 family for in-network. And it's 5,000 and 10,000 under the high deductible health plan.
And if you have that much saved up in your healthcare savings account, then you virtually wouldn't actually have to spend anything other than what you've been setting aside in your HSA account.
That's correct. And we actually issue you a debit card where you can access those funds directly on your own. I've actually used my own, and mm-hmm. it's complete disclosure. I have a health savings account, and you can even use your debit card at an ATM, withdraw the funds for yourself, and document that you paid it to a physician who doesn't accept a debit card. I've actually had that situation occur, and as long as you document it for potential, you know, IRS tax purposes, you're fine.
Okay. Two of the guests on the show, one that always starts off at the beginning, Walt Francis on his Checkbook Health Guide, but you can pull down a couple of the plans, as well as there's another outfit that's going to come on later.
Plan Smart Choice.
And you can compare the plans. But some of us are more computer-oriented than the others. If I just need to pick up the old telephone, or could I go online, where would I call, Tom, if I just wanted to know more about Aetna? Not necessarily to compare it with anybody. Aetna's not going to compare it to anybody else, but just so that I could understand more what we talked about today, if I liked what I heard today.
Yeah, you can go to www.aetnafeds, that's one word, AETNAFEDS.com, or you can call 1-877-459-6604. And Bob, it's interesting. Like, you're right. We cannot compare ourselves to our competitors, and you know, I don't think that's really the right way to go. But we also, on our website, we have a tool called Aetna Express Lane, which is an interactive benefits advisor, and you answer questions like, you know, if you're driving along in your car and all your wheels fell off, could you afford $2,000 out of your pocket to have your car repaired? Well, based on our understanding of your answer to that question, that might drive us into recommending a high deductible health plan versus a HMO.
I see.
So it's kind of a way to narrow down. Yeah, Aetna does have a lot of tools. I've kind of scanned over your website with a lot of different ways to help employees discern between the different options that they have available to them. So that's, I find that real helpful.
I think it's important to know to do that. And again, the account and finance side of me says, you know, the more money I can save, if I save a dollar, I know this is going to sound screwy, but if I save a dollar, I really have to make $3 to spend a dollar almost, because of taxes, employment insurance and the like. So, this is significant. So we got a caller. Does the caller have a name?
Jane from Nashville. Jane, are you there?
Hi, Jane.
Good morning. I have a question for you. My husband has a Medicare Advantage plan, which covers him and me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's a Medicare C plan.
That's right.
Does Aetna have a plan which provides the 100% wraparound, so that Aetna will pay the expenses which are not covered by the Medicare Advantage plan?
Well, my understanding is if you have Medicare Part C, and of course that requires enrollment in Medicare A and B, that you wouldn't need another plan. So if you're not satisfied that your Medicare Advantage plan is not covering enough, then you might consider, since we are in open season, you can cancel that Medicare Advantage plan and cancel your... are you still in the federal health plan?
Yes,
you didn't suspend your coverage.
I plan to retire in April, and I currently have Blue Cross Standard.
Oh, okay, so you haven't retired yet. You're planning to do so this spring. Yeah,
right.
Because as a retiree, what OPM allows retirees to do who are using a Medicare Part C plan is to suspend their federal plan, because you don't necessarily need to be overinsured. So you would have that option once you're retired. But if you want to carry your federal health plan into retirement and use that in addition to Medicare A and B, then you might consider canceling the Medicare Part C plan. But I don't know that you need all of that. You know, you need one or the other. Either use the Medicare Advantage or the federal. Now, in terms of Aetna's coverage with Medicare, you certainly have that coordination of benefits where Medicare would pay first once she's retired, and then Aetna picks up secondary, but there's no waiver of the coinsurance, right? You still pay your normal out-of-pocket expenses.
That's correct, Tammy. With Medicare C, though, really, like you said, you suspend your FEHBP medical plan. If you want to keep your FEHBP medical plan and keep Medicare, you know, not have Medicare suspended, you switch to Medicare A and B, mm-hmm. and then you keep an FEHBP plan sort of as your supplement.
Medicare pays first in that case. This is all once she's retired, which will occur next spring.
And, you know, I'm not going to speak for other plans, but the plan that she mentioned mm-hmm. and several other fee-for-service plans do waive deductibles and some coinsurance amounts for individuals that are enrolled in Medicare A and B, and that's certainly an option to look at. Our Aetna plans in Nashville, we only offer the two consumer plans. We don't waive deductibles or copays, but you can use your HRA to pay for your Part B premium in our consumer-driven plan.
And the premiums for Aetna's consumer-driven plan are considerably less than some of those national plans, so that's something to weigh that against each other with the doctors that she would have access to there in the Nashville area versus the cost associated with the other plans.
Right, so the option is either keep Medicare C and suspend your FEHBP or enroll in Medicare A and B and pick an FEHBP plan or keep the one that you mentioned.
Right. Yeah, my understanding is no matter which FEHB plan you have compared to Medicare Part C, you're going to have more comprehensive coverage and better prescription benefits perhaps as well. So it's something you want to look at carefully. I know some of those Advantage plans can be less expensive in premiums, but like you're noticing, you still have some out-of-pocket expenses to take care of.
Did that answer the question?
I just want to make sure I'm not undercovered or have more coverage than I need.
Right. Yeah, so you still have a little gap there between now and your retirement in April. So you want to think in terms of, you know, what you're going to be needing once you are retired and once Medicare becomes your primary insurance.
Okay, you've been very, very helpful.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Nashville, I bet you wish you were there 2 weeks ago, huh, Tammy?
I was just there last week.
Oh,
okay. It was good last week.
It was beautiful.
Okay,
yeah,
where'd you go? Where'd you go? Maybe the caller.
Well, it's about 91 miles, east of Nashville at Fall Creek Falls State Park. Have you ever been there?
Yes, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Wow.
Absolutely.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Tom, in your outline that you gave us, everybody likes perks, and I noticed one of the highlighted topics was perks. So what perks do we get if we join Aetna, or are we unaware of if we are with Aetna?
I guess the most significant perk that I would mention are actually things that are actually included in all of your medical plans with Aetna, and those are eye exams, dental exams, cleanings, an eyewear reimbursement, as well as other items such as discounts on prescription eyewear, contact lenses, even LASIK eye surgery, as well as discounts on gym memberships with over 10,000 fitness clubs to choose from, discounts on things like acupuncture, massage therapy, vitamins and supplements, and even discounts on weight loss programs such as Nutrisystems or Jenny Craig.
When somebody joins Aetna during this open season, will they receive information about that or discount cards, or how does that work? How do they access those benefits?
They access their benefits just by presenting their medical or dental ID card. Those benefits are also associated with our dental plan under the FedVip program.
And we haven't really talked about the FedVip program yet, have we, Bob?
No, we have somebody coming in, don't we, Ann?
Al Schubert from VSP will be on.
Well, that's competition.
But not really, though. That's the vision.
Yeah.
If they're a vision carrier,
they're
we're a dental carrier.
Yeah, they've got the dental coverage.
I remember Al, first time he was on, which was a good number of years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, and he talked about when somebody has an eye exam, they're not only just looking at the eyes. Inside the eyes tell you more about what's inside the body. I know that. And they can determine blood pressure, and they can determine other issues that you might have. And so probably the eye care opportunity is a dual opportunity.
Right. Well, with the dental plans, like the one that Aetna offers, I always tell employees that before you sign up for a FedVit plan, whether it's dental or vision, check your health plan first. And I know Aetna does cover some dental and vision services within, is it through all of the different Aetna plans?
Through all four of our medical plans, we do cover some, I would classify them as basic dental
like
and vision
exams
services.
And basic X-rays.
Exams,
and like
eyeglasses, on the dental side, cleanings, X-rays, exams. Even some fillings at a copay. On the consumer plan side, it's a little more complicated, but if you take the time to look into it, you can actually use some of those health savings account dollars for significant dental plan expenses. So, for all of those out there, with an FSA, flexible spending account now, and there's some recently passed limitations to the FSA, with the health savings account, you don't have that use it or lose it fear or anxiety, mm-hmm. so that if you don't use your HSA through the end of the year, it just stays with you.
Right.
So it's definitely something that creates more freedom and flexibility and tax advantages and all those things that we hit on before. But it's definitely linked to the dental and vision benefits that are associated with our medical plans as well.
Well, if somebody was looking for more comprehensive dental coverage and they were looking at your FedVit plan, I know each one of the dental plans through FedVit has a yearly limit. And I think that confuses employees sometimes as far as what does that mean. So if I think it's $1,500 for the expense limit for the dental plan. You know what I'm talking about, Tom? That whenever you have your, let's say you need a crown and a root canal and your kid needs braces and your spouse needs gum surgery. So you couldn't have all of that reimbursed in the same year because there's a certain dollar limit that you hit. And then you have to wait till the next year.
We actually increased our limit because mm-hmm. of feedback from members mm-hmm. like you who were unhappy with our annual limit being at the level it was, and I believe it was at 2,000. We actually increased that to 3,000.
Oh, good.
For in network, and then 2,000 for out of network. But we do have a massive network of dentists, especially in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and our rates are some of the most affordable in the Washington, D.C. area. We're rating area 2 if you're researching this.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan, even though the benefits have been enhanced, the plan had no premium increase for 2011.
A friend of mine we were talking about this over the weekend, and she was saying that her dentist said she needs to get a crown, and she can have it done in December and use her leftover flex dollars to pay for it, or she can have it done next year and pick up a dental plan to cover that. But let's say the dental plan covers, 50-60% of the cost of that crown, and she's got to pay $800 out of pocket. Would that $800 be what counts against that $2,000 limit or $3,000 limit, or would it be the entire cost of the crown that would count against the limit? Do you know the answer?
It would only be the amount that we paid as the insurance carrier.
Oh, good.
That's
so that way, if she needed another one later in the year, then she would still have money left to pay for it. And we were trying to debate which is the better way to go, either spend the money now or spend it later.
That's good. Tom, other D.C., we always talk about D.C., but there are other big federal towns, if you will. Do you have a prominence in other big federal towns?
Well, we in terms of our scope and area that we cover, again, it is nationwide for those great consumer plans, and we do offer local HMOs in New York, all of New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, again, the Washington, D.C. area, Atlanta, Chicago, which is the third largest federal market, Southern California, which is the second largest federal market, Arizona, and San Antonio, Austin, so a lot of metropolitan areas. So if anyone lives in those areas, and Memphis is one that I forgot, but they also can access our HMO network throughout the United States. But in terms of our enrolled membership, we are heavily weighted to the D.C. area. We cover over 100,000, actually 105,000 members in our Washington, D.C. HMO plans. And our consumer plans, which are offered nationwide and cover nearly 100,000 people, the lion's share of the largest market where we have the The highest consumer plans enrollment is the Washington, D.C. area, with what is approaching nearly 20,000 members in this market.
That's good. That's a pretty big share, I think.
And well spread.
Yes. With the coverage now of our oxymoron adult children.
That's great.
But is Aetna set up right now that we could call if we're already in self and family coverage and we want to add our 23-year-old, we can call them up now, or do you want to wait till December, or when can we add those children on?
You can go ahead and call and add them now.
That does not apply to open season change as long as you're already in self and family coverage, right? You would just add that child's name to the list of family members.
That's right. But if you, OPM has advised everyone to go through their payroll center, their health benefit officer, to add their dependents. They're treating it as not an open season change, but a qualifying life event. QLE. Mm-hmm. That gets the child effective date, on January 1st. So there's no confusion around that. It's important to note, too, though, that it's critical that you, if you have self-only coverage and you're going to re-add or add your adult child, that you definitely need to go through your health benefit officer, and because that will impact the premium that you pay.
You have to change to self and family even if you're just adding one child. That's right. More than one person.
That's true.
Family. Are there any significant changes to Aetna for 2011 that are something that stands out as big differences from coverage from this year? I know. Well, I always tell employees to look at that page in their health plan brochure that says how we changed for 2011, just to see if there's anything as far as co-payments, deductibles, premiums. I don't think. I guess Aetna's HMO plan went up significantly, but your high deductible and your consumer-driven plans are probably about the same premium.
Yeah, our premiums did increase for all of our plans, but to get to the benefit changes first, and then I'll address the premiums. Benefit changes, I guess, on the plus side, we eliminated any cost sharing for any type of preventative care associated with any of our plans. We're also adding the dependent age increase. We had really minor changes to our prescription drug co-payments. We're not doing anything. A lot of plans are doing co-insurance on prescription drugs, which sort of, in my thinking, leaves the members in the dark around what their share really is. Mm-hmm. Who knows what goes into prescription drug pricing. But we did increase them by $5. The specialist office visit copay in some of our plans went up $5, and those are the real major ones.
It doesn't sound like anything that would make somebody stop and pause. They sound like just nominal increases.
As far as our rate increases go, our HMO plans went up about 14%. And again, those plans vary regionally based on the different HMOs that I mentioned. And the rates reflect a number of factors, most notably rising healthcare costs and the actual claims experience for our HMOs. A lot of people don't recognize the fact that we don't just pull a number out of a hat and say we want to charge this premium to try to maximize our profits.
Right.
We essentially, the overwhelming majority of the development of our premium costs is derived from the claims experience of the individuals covered in that plan.
So a plan that attracts a lot of older retirees might have a higher increase than a plan that might have younger, healthier employees.
That's right. And our philosophy is that, you can either cut benefits or charge what you need to charge to cover the claims costs. And as you mentioned, since a lot of folks are generally older and more retired, they're in more need of the benefit. So we don't feel that cutting the benefit is the right thing to do. But we do charge the higher premium. The other factor that also goes in to the federal premiums is a result of how the government calculates its contribution towards premiums. Members may pay a significantly higher percentage of the premium increase because the government sets a maximum contribution. Essentially, that's the ceiling on how much they'll contribute to any plan. So if you get into a situation where you are covering more of those retirees, those elderly people, and your premium is capped, Consequently, the amount that the individual pays is going to go up exponentially versus a plan that's under that cap.
That stays within that cap. Yeah, I think a lot of employees don't understand how that premium works for everybody enrolled in that plan. That's why we don't have separate premiums for retirees or young families, or you don't categorize it that slimly, because you want to cover everybody who's enrolled in that particular plan.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, with Aetna, with our older enrollees who are Medicare age, do you find that most of them do take Medicare and Aetna, or do you not even keep records of that?
We do keep records of it. Everyone gets it Part A, but
right.
Part B is the sort of decision
right.
that individuals need to make.
$100 a month. Yeah.
And you know, I know you mentioned Walt Francis, and I don't know if he's coming around to my way of thinking on this or not, but I recommend everyone take Part B, mm-hmm. because we're seeing a dynamic occur in FEHBP where individuals have not taken Part B and they were in an HMO, and the HMO has exited FEHBP. There are many markets where there's one or no HMOs left in that market.
Right.
And individuals who did not take Part B and decided not to pay the Part B premium have to pay a late fee or a penalty to get back in at a subsequent date.
Right.
So you could be left, facing a much higher Part B premium if you deferred taking Part B when it was first available because you were in an HMO and you thought the HMO was going to go on forever.
Or you moved to a location where there's just not that many doctors who participate.
That's correct.
That could happen as well. Yeah, I think that's what a lot of employees don't understand, especially those not yet at 65 but getting ready to move towards that. You know, because none of the federal plans require you to enroll in Medicare, you know, they'll all cover you even if you don't. I think we think that's an option that, well, we could, we may not, you know, enroll and pay that extra $100. Next year it's going to be $115 a month for Part B.
Mm.
And so it gets very expensive. And you have to give it second thought. But I think, like you said, Tom, looking down the road, not just when I'm 65, but when I'm 75, 85, and possibly even 95 years old, you can imagine that your healthcare expenses are going to increase. You may not live in the same location. You might have to move near family or someone who can help care for you. And that could be a whole different story in which health plans are available. So I'm on your boat. I agree that I think Medicare Part B is an important part of planning.
And there are some competitive plans, we didn't do this with ours, who are providing more options around Medicare coverage and Part
sub-option.
B. And,
yeah. Do you know, have any insight as to what Aetna was thinking in not offering a sub-option?
Given the challenges that we face around implementing all the healthcare reform
right.
laws and some of the changes that actually have occurred within the federal employee health benefit program, we decided to just sit it out for this year rather than introducing so many significant changes all at the same time.
Right, right. Yeah, there was only two, I think, that really took up on that offer.
That's right.
So we'll see how that works.
Okay.
In 2011.
I noticed on your outline here, Aetna Mobile, there's an app for the iPhone, and so I guess wherever you are, you can click on and find out the folks in the network where you are, and that app is also coming to the BlackBerry.
So, yeah, you can view your personal health record, you know, how your health risk assessment that you filled out said that you should stop eating chocolate cake. I don't know if it'll go so far as preventing you from entering the bakery, but you can check your personal health record. And actually, it's we joke about it, but if you're waiting in the doctor's office and you're thinking, oh my God, the doctor's going to ask me what medications I'm taking, you can just zip on your personal health record and you're going to have them right there in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're at the pharmacy and a lot of people don't even think about the
interaction.
Yeah, the interaction of different medications that you're taking. Well, you'll have them right there, easily accessible to you so that you can talk to your pharmacist about them.
Now, do the network doctors who participate in the Aetna HMO network, do they have access to your records as well, so that if you're seeing a cardiologist and then you have your primary care physician, do they talk to each other, or is that something that's kept separate within each provider?
In this day and age of significant privacy concerns, only if you allow them access will they have access.
But they could if you allowed it.
Right. We do have a program called MedQuery, which is completely behind the scenes, where we look at holistically look at an individual that we cover, and we try to identify areas of omission or commission. Omission meaning they have high blood pressure and they're not taking anything. They're right. A walking time bomb. Commission meaning they're taking two drugs which are conflicting with each other. Mm-hmm. And we have nurses that immediately, they sort of risk stratify these indicators. And people who are five might be the highest risks that we need to inform somebody of something very mm-hmm. quickly. So we will, behind the scenes, call their primary care physician, try to send them a letter, because, you know, it could cost them their life because they don't Absolutely. Have this information. So that is sort of working behind the scenes. The mm-hmm. PHR, personal health record, is working at the sort of authorization of the individual member, and they actually have to take an active part in keeping that up to date, and they can share it with whomever they want.
Wow, that's great. Age of technology is good in that respect, mm-hmm. that we now have that kind of access to our records, and doctors can be looking out for us to make sure we're not harming ourselves by
eating chocolate cake
or we're taking too many different pills that conflict with each other.
And you know what else that risk assessment tool said?
What?
Buckle your seatbelt.
Absolutely,
Bob.
That was
the biggest red on uh-huh. in mine. And
that's going to affect your health.
Yes, I am, only because of that.
Good. Not because your wife told you to.
Oh, of course not. No, I do everything she tells me. Except buckle my seatbelt. But I'm much better now.
Good for you.
I don't want to see that red line again.
No.
Okay.
But they didn't say that I could substitute that for chocolate cake. Anyway.
Yeah, Tom, you were talking before about making catch-up contributions. Is that possible with one of the Aetna plans?
With the health savings account, the gentleman who called in earlier in the show should look into maximizing his tax deductible contributions between now and reaching age 65. There are voluntary catch-up contributions that can be made between, I believe, ages 55 and 65.
I think it's $1,000 a year. I'm pretty sure it's $1,000 a year that you can put in over and above that annual limit.
That's right.
Once you reach, I think it is age 55. In fact, I may have it in my IRS. I brought my IRS publication, Bob.
Oh, my
How about
goodness.
That?
Aren't you exciting?
I'm in trouble now.
Except for it's old, but I thought it might have some information about the HSAs, because there is, I guess it's publication 969 that talks about a healthcare savings account in these tax-favored plans that can give you some guidance as far as what expenses can be deducted. Like I was mentioning, long-term care insurance, there's a schedule as far as how much at certain ages you can deduct from your HSA.
Yeah.
So you can spend the money on things that you might not have thought would be eligible expenses.
Exactly.
And that not necessarily out of an FSA. So there's a difference in what you can use to report.
All righty. We got the high sign for 2 minutes, and to bring it down to the proverbial slow landing. Ann, you haven't said anything.
Oh, I've just...
He's taking it all in.
I'm taking it all in, right. Oh, well, next week we have Samba representatives on, so... Listen in for that.
And who would that be?
That would be Walt Wilson. And the week after that, we have Walt Francis on again.
Okay. And so the week after that?
Taking full advantage of the open season.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
And the week after that?
Oh, on the 20th is the best show yet of the year, because except for Aetna, is our 20th, or our 5th anniversary show. It's 5 years we've been on the air now. So that would be a fun show. I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's December 20th.
We're going to have cake?
Yes, we are.
Then Bob can't come. He's not allowed to have chocolate cake.
No chocolate cake. You can only have white cake.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. Just heavy icing. All righty. Tom, great to see you again. We're coming to the deadline. Final comments. How do we get in touch with you?
Well, I guess I just want to close with Aetna's been a continuous participant in the federal benefit program since its inception 5 decades ago. And we're currently the largest consumer-driven plan and high-deductible health plan, covering nearly 100,000 members. And our plans remain relatively stable as we continue to grow, as some of our competitors are even exiting that market. We've shown that we'll grow, and we're committed to it. If anyone wants more information on those plans or any of our plan options, they can again visit our website at aetnafeds.com or call 877-459-6604.
Perfect ending. We have 10 seconds. Tammy?
Go to your health fairs, make some choices, do some homework.
And listen next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee.